At the Patriot Trading Group, we're a different kind of company. We have no commission salespeople, no boiler room sales calls, no high-priced spokesman. We believe in treating you with honesty and respect and delivering you the best products at the best price. Buying or selling, call us at 800-951-0592 or go to our website at allamericangold.com. You're listening to the Roar of the Rockies, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins.
Rocky Mountain News Network, I'm Kristen Thober. The family of Elijah McClain has filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Aurora and specifically named several other police, fire, and medical personnel. The 23-year-old died in police custody despite committing no crime nearly a year ago after being injected with ketamine, but the case has recently garnered more attention from the public. An attorney for the family says they filed the civil rights lawsuit to demand justice for Elijah and to hold accountable the city of Aurora and those who are supposed to protect and serve. The city of Aurora says it is still reviewing that lawsuit, but it also announced yesterday that they're going to undertake a comprehensive review of the Aurora Police Department aimed at developing a common goal of a new vision of public safety. We could see some record high temperatures across the state today, with a few places possibly getting into triple digits. The hot weather is not good for fire danger, especially in already overly dry areas of Colorado. Interstate 70 remains closed this morning in both directions between Glenwood Springs and Gypsum due to the Grizzly Creek fire there. The closure affects mile markers 116 through 140. Detours, if you do have to pass through that area, are suggested, but be aware it's likely going to add significant time to your trip. There's still no estimated time for when that stretch of interstate will reopen. One person was killed and three others were injured last night in Brighton in an attack involving a machete. It happened in a residential neighborhood, and a neighbor says she heard lots of screaming coming from the home around 10 p.m. Three people were injured, two males and one female. The person who died was a female. Victim names and ages have not yet been released, nor have any other details about what may have led up to the attack. We do know that a suspect was taken into custody last night. I'm Kristen Thoburn.
Don't be stupid with your skin. It's the only skin you're in. Know what's good and bad to do. Find the right and wrong for you. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. UV lamps from a tanning bed, they can turn your skin beet red. Wrinkles come from the UV light, and age spots make you go frightful sight. With UV light, it gets worse. Skin cancer is a wicked curse. Don't be the one that's tan and dead. Use your brain, use your head. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Does this corrupt monetary system give you a whack to the head or a poke in the eye? Call Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. That's 800-951-0592. Don't be a stooge. Buy gold and silver today.
Hi, folks. This is Luke Lefevre with Alpine Arborist Professional Tree Care. The real bailout is hiring local companies and supporting small businesses here on the Front Range. We are a small family business in Thornton, Colorado. We have ISA certified arborists on each crew. Hire us for all your tree care needs. See us on the web at alpinetreepros.com or call us at 720-470-6101. Call or text. We accept all forms of payment, including gold and silver. alpinetreepros.com, 720-470-6101.
Hi, this is Mike Morris, owner of Warriors Revolution Tactical in Longmont. At Warriors Revolution, we have the largest selection of tactical gear and ammo in Northern Colorado. But what many people may not know is that we now sell firearms. And even despite the recent run on firearms and ammunition, we have plenty of product in the store, including ARs, AKs, Glocks, SIGs, HK, and more.
And don't forget all the bulk ammunition at the best prices in town. Need to do a private firearms transfer? We can do that too. I am a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, and our team is made up of veterans and security experts, not a bunch of salesmen. Our team is trained and fought with much of the actual equipment we sell. And one thing you should know is that we support the foundations and principles this great country was founded upon. So if you need tactical gear, ammo, firearms, AR parts or upgrades, and even survival accessories, stop by and visit us on Ken Pratt Boulevard and Bowen Street in Longmont. Or visit warriorsrevolution.com. That's warriorsrevolution.com.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you, and still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning, don't mind that. I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil.
Foil.
Where I had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar.
Peculiar.
Seems a little crazy. But someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
Hi, this is PJ. He's scared of all things. I'm terrified of everything. He knows that as soon as you're born, you're at risk of dying, so he wants to stay safe at all costs. He doesn't look at life as an adventure to be lived. I look at life as a predator that I need to protect myself against. And he's going to teach you all the things you should be scared of and how to stay safe from them. The most up-to-date science that shows that the coronavirus is not easily spread via surfaces and asymptomatic people is trumped by the outdated guesses that it is. So I always wear a mask, especially when I'm driving.
Well, thank you, J.P. Sears, for that levity. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Open Forum Wednesday. I'm Kara, and this is Brain Cleavage. This is a place for people who like to think. It's a place where thinking is always robust, and intelligence is never artificial. We have a fun show planned for you today, fun and serious at the same time. My guest today, my main guest today, and actually I've got two main guests today. The first one is someone that you all may have had an introduction to over YouTube. She is an environmental health and safety professional consultant. She has a wealth of experience in the industry of the PP industry. You may know of her because her YouTube videos, I think, went viral for a while. And she talks on her YouTube videos about the truth about face masks, because she is an expert about how face masks are supposed to work, how they're supposed to be fitted, how to make sure they're safe, and that sort of thing. And that's why she's a PPE expert as well as an OSHA safety and compliance expert. So I'd like to first welcome my guest, Tammy Clark, to Brain Cleavage. Welcome, Tammy.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here all the way from Michigan. Are you upper or lower Michigan?
We are lower Michigan. I'm in the Grand Rapids area.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we're excited to have you as our guest on Brain Cleavage today, Tammy. And we also have a colleague of yours. Oh, I forgot to mention before we go on that you are also the founder of Stand Up Michigan and Unlock Michigan, which are groups that you have formed to deal with some of the hysteria that's going on in our nation relative to the wearing of face masks, executive orders, and other things that are happening that are kind of turning things upside down. So we're going to hear more about that in the program. And another guest that we have today is a colleague of Tammy's. Tammy's colleague is Kristen Megan. She is someone who has 18 years of field experience in occupational and environmental toxicology, with a combined involvement in public health, decontamination, site management, and hazardous hazardous materials management. She has also spent 9 years in active duty military experience. So, Kristen, first I want to thank you for your service to our country, and welcome to you to Brain Cleavage.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Wonderful to have both of you. So let's start out by talking about the face mask issue in terms of the safety and efficacy and how they're supposed to be used and not used. And let's just look at that foundation before we go into the other subjects. So, Tammy, let's just have you start to address, you know, what about these face masks? Do they work? What's really going on in terms of what's happening with all these orders that are happening?
Yeah, sure. Actually, it was the face mask mandate and the face mask wearing that really piqued my interest because I know from my experience, and Kristen can testify to this and maybe expound on some of these things as well, we work in the field of personal protective equipment. We hear that term thrown around all the time, right? PPE. Everybody's been talking about PPE for months and months now, but most people don't really understand what PPE is. So let's just start with that, because if we don't have a good understanding of that definition, then we can't even apply it to the conversation. And a lot of people who try to debunk me and Kristen and make us look like we're frauds and we don't know what we're talking about, they don't even start from that very basic definition and understanding to begin with. And so we've got to go all the way back to the beginning and just start there. So
go right
when
ahead.
You hear people throwing around the term, yeah, so when you hear people throwing around the term PPE with face masks, let's just be clear, first of all, PPE is personal protective equipment, and it is designed to protect the wearer from environmental hazards, from chemicals, pathogens, maybe harmful fumes or dust that they might be exposed to in their work. So personal protective equipment is intended to be worn for personal protection or for protection of those around you. Like when a doctor or a nurse is wearing a surgical mask, it is not to protect the doctor or the nurse, because they're working in a sterile environment, it is to protect the patient that they are working on. So those things, Kristen and I have worked very closely with different occupations, lots of different occupations, from construction companies to medical facilities, hospital systems, manufacturing facilities, you name it. Most employees out there are exposed to pathogens or dangerous toxins and toxicants in their work. And so we are the ones that come in and we help them figure out what PPE they need to wear, how to fit it. We need to make sure that they're medically able to tolerate that PPE, and then we need to train them on how to use it, how to wear it, how to take it on and off, how to store it, things like that. So when we started talking about face masks as PPE, that's where our red flags go up.
Great. Well, let's take a quick break here for a few commercials. And when we come back from the break, we'll have a longer segment. We can get more into that and some other things. Stay with us on Brain Cleavage, folks.
Hey. Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Colorado Right to Life. Please work to abolish abortion, but reject all so-called pro-life efforts to regulate child killing. Even on the surface, regulations undermine the very concept of the right to life, and they convince even our own judges, tragically, that the fetus they consent to killing must not be a real child. See AmericanRTL.org/regulations for more.
Northern Colorado is more than just a place. It's a state of mind, a community where neighbors support one another, especially during these challenging times. We're Miller Insurance, your local independent agency, and we're right here, part of your community. Whether it's your home, auto, farm, or business, our priority is investing in the people of Colorado. Call the Millers today at 970-593-0619 or find us online at callthemillers.com. We're here for you every step of the way.
Cleaning out your garage or basement and not sure what to do with those old books, records, or cassette tapes? Then call the Bazaar Bazaar in Fort Collins at 970-484-1699. They buy, sell, trade record players, turntables, amplifiers, receivers, and vintage radios, working or not. They're your one-stop shop for books, music, stereos, you name it, they got it. Check out FortCollinsBazaar.com or call 970-484-1699. Located at 1014 South College in Fort Collins, 970-484-1699.
Hi, I'm Tom McGuire with Maxcom Corporation. Today's telecommunications networks are focused on improving the customer experience. Maxcom has developed a new fiber tap to reduce and eliminate customer downtime while troubleshooting and testing the network. The device maintains signal continuity to subscribers while providing a test port for troubleshooting. Check us out at www.maxcomcorp.com.
Enter promo code KHNC when shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. That's promo code KHNC.
When people see me drive by in my mask, I know what they're thinking. Thank you for your service to our country. And you know what, people? You're welcome. They're definitely also thinking, he's an inspiration, that's a powerful virtue signal, and he's probably really well-versed on the latest virus knowledge.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. Right, Tammy? Right, Kristen? So when we went to the break, Tammy, you were explaining what PPE means and things like that. So you gave us a foundation.
Yeah.
And so if we're ready to to maybe talk about, you know, what is the situation with all people, it seems, being asked or told to wear these masks. We're going to talk about whether that's really good for people first, and then we're also going to talk about whether that order is lawful, and we'll talk about some more legal things later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so when all of a sudden we are all being told to put on face masks, when you understand what PPE is and the legal requirements to wear PPE, immediately environmental health and safety professionals and compliance specialists like Kristen and I are going, whoa, wait a minute. Because it is not even legal, according to OSHA's own standards and definitions, to require somebody or to allow an employee to wear a face mask. If you're going to consider it to be personal protective equipment, then you have to follow the respirator standard and you have to follow the PPE requirements, which means, first of all, we have to medically evaluate you to make sure that you are even medically fit enough to work in a face covering or that type of PPE. We have killed people by covering the mouth and the nose and then allowing them to go to work. It's very stressful and taxing on the cardiopulmonary system. I mean, clearly this is common sense, right? That is not how we were designed to breathe. So when you restrict airflow and you restrict the amount of oxygen being breathed in and the way that carbon dioxide is exhaled, it's going to cause problems. And there are other problems that are caused by a face mask. But let's just start with the wearing a face mask from a legal perspective. It's not legal. We are violating OSHA standards by turning face masks into PPE and then not providing training, not medically evaluating everybody, not giving them the fit test that they need. And all of this, and if people don't understand this, when I say like a layperson, right, who is not involved in this industry and doesn't know all the requirements, they just think, well, it's to keep me safe. What are you so upset about? Mm-hmm. But it is totally illegal the way that OSHA is handling this.
How do they get away? How is this being gotten away with if that's the case? Can you address that?
Well, they are a regulatory agency, and they are being weaponized by the very governors that are telling people. I mean, if you look at it, it is the Democrat states, the liberal states, that are really pushing this hard. If you look at the more conservative states, they're kind of following along, but it's not this push and this mandate. And, for example, in my state, in Michigan, we have Michigan OSHA. It is a state-run plan. This state, this governor has weaponized this state agency, and she has required them to form a COVID-19 task that their job is to go into restaurants and bars and construction sites and enforce the COVID plans. So you might have somebody on a roof that is not tied off, clearly an imminent danger situation, but these inspectors are only worried about, let me see your COVID plan, and, you know, issuing citations just for not following their mask requirements and all of that. There's so much wrong with this.
It's really a hyperbolic reaction to a virus. I mean, we've had viruses for eons, right? And yet this one is being responded to differently than even the SARS virus, the SARS-2 virus of, what is it, 2009, I think. And it doesn't, things just don't really add up logically. I agree with you. The COVID policy seems to trump everything else that's based on common sense. I had an MRI on Monday, and I was told I had to wear my face mask in the tube to get the MRI. And I pulled it up just a little bit, and the woman said, no, you have to have it over your nose also. And I said, that is just ridiculous. And she said, I'm sorry, but that's what we're required to do. Well, come to find out, I had a few breathing problems while I was in the tube due to allergies and things like that. And so I had trouble, and I coughed, and they had to stop and restart a couple of times, and ended up with my mask not on. And it was because of all that, plus I was very uncomfortable, and I thought that the headphones that they gave me were pinching my ear, but it was really the face mask elastic. So I pulled that off, and then so when I got out, finally done with the whole thing, the technician chastised me. She said, you were supposed to leave your mask on in there. So she knew I had had some medical issues. And then she said, now I'm going to have to disinfect the entire inside of that tube. And I was just like, oh, that now it makes sense. They're more concerned about the policy and the hype and their own butt, you know, in terms of what they need to do, rather than individual patients. And this is kind of a theme across the board for people, even with much more serious medical issues. It's very concerning. And so I just made light of it. And I just looked at her and I said, well, I guess I'm a high maintenance patient. But it really made me angry.
Right.
where's the concern?
As it should.
Yeah. Exactly. Look at the telephone. I mean, look at the television commercials that we're seeing. Almost every major corporation has cut new commercials with probably major New York City ad agencies and putting all of their actors, including children, in the Domino's commercial I've seen, putting them in masks. Now, it costs millions of dollars to cut a commercial for TV. Why would they spend that money if they weren't expecting masks to be basically something that are going to go forward for a long period of time?
That's just social conditioning. That's all that is.
It's terrible, though, and to put the mask on. Tell me about, let's maybe let Kristen jump in here. Kristen, tell us about how, from your perspective as an expert in PPE and environmental health and safety, how do masks affect children?
Well, overall, when you have to look at the data that is tied to approving a mask for use, it's passed through the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. And that data is determined to be involving criteria from what's called the 95th percentile. That just shows the 95th percentile for height, weight, and health criteria. When you're dealing with children, there's not a bigger diverse group of differential human and environmental factors and genetic factors involving children. For example, if you ever just look at a kindergarten class, some kids look like they're 3 and some look like they're 8, different height, weight, things like that. And that's why these blanket mandates are so irresponsible and highly dangerous to children, because the original reason that there was age restrictions for having toddler use in masks was because of them unable to include them in the 95th percentile because of their differential weights and heights. And their nasal passages are still developing, and they are very tiny. And that is why you see in daycares in certain ages, you can't have blankets, they can't be face down. And when it comes to children, they are at the highest risk. You think about the nasal passages, but the bigger risk here is called fomite transmission. And that's a cross-contamination through touching different surfaces. We all know that children are very much about touching their face and their nasal passages and lower areas. Kids are not the most hygienic. So what they do is they highly increase that risk of fomite transmission because the ideology is that these kids know, oh, if I'm touching my mask, I must wash my hands. When I'm removing my mask, I must do this. They don't know that. So it's highly dangerous for children, not just because of what it imposes on the body, but it's that risk of higher increase of spread of not just coronavirus, but bacterial and fungal infections amongst the children.
Wow. That's pretty serious stuff. Is there an age under which, I think I've heard this statistic, but would you tell us from your professional experience, is there an age under which a child should not wear a mask?
Absolutely under the age of 5, no way. And even then, I'm not comfortable just giving an age. You know, every time you see someone with a car seat, it always has a height and weight. So this is based on the actual makeup of the child's body. I have a niece who is 5, and she's got the body of a 2- and 3-year-old. I have a 4-year-old who's, everyone thinks she's 7. So I would say 5 would be comfortable, but again, it should be based on height, weight, and their individual health risk assessments. And when I say health risk assessments, it's not just that child's individual medical history. Do they have asthma? Do they have different allergies? We have to think about this. With these masks, we have so many allergies in schools nowadays, which is a whole other conversation. But how are we making sure that there's no cross-contamination of these allergens, like a peanut butter powder or something, or dust, or someone eating a peanut butter sandwich, and the mask is crossing? Like, you have so many risks here because we're not considering, it's not one size fits all.
Right.
So I can't even professionally or ethically say that I'm comfortable at all for anyone under the age of 18 wearing it. But at a minimum, if we're going to be even a minimal tyrannical, I'd say 5.
Well, you know, this discussion is pointing out really even more clearly the fact that these policies are not practical and they're not responsible, because they're about a policy and they're about a blanket kind of reaction to the fear of a new virus, rather than really looking at, you know, safety as a whole for each individual person. And when you're sacrificing the safety of individual people in order to have a policy that's a blanket, I don't see the efficacy of that for our society at all. And you guys are really reinforcing that. The other thing that Tammy mentioned earlier that is so important is that these are orders that are not only not based on good science, they're not based on OSHA standards and regulations, but they're not even based on our system of government, which allows for checks and balances. It allows for debate. It allows for laws to be written by the legislative branch and for judicial oversight. And what's happening is these orders are not laws, but they're being passed off as laws. And then there's bullying and oppressive measures being put on businesses that are not appropriate. So in Colorado, I don't know how it is in Michigan, but in Colorado, every single place you go now, there's a huge sign on the door that says you must wear a mask to enter. And some of those signs say it's Colorado state law. It is not state law. And it's not the desire of the businesses in all cases to do this, but they're being pressured by the health organizations, the public health authorities, and the executive branches of government that are saying they have to do this or they'll lose their business licenses. So you've got two-pronged approach. Tell businesses they're going to lose their licenses if they don't comply and they don't enforce, and make the public really afraid. And we're trying to deal with all of this. So you guys have come up with a very effective response to this in the state of Michigan to address these issues. And my goal is to have you explain what you're doing in Michigan so that maybe some of the people in our listening audience in Colorado, Nebraska, and Wyoming will decide that it's going to be their job or their privilege to step up and formulate some organizations here in these states to do what you guys have done in Michigan. So, Tammy, we have about 2 minutes and then we'll go to another break, but let's just have you start by talking about Stand Up for Michigan.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not the co-founder, or I'm not a co-founder, actually. There are two co-founders. I am the executive director, so just so we're clear on that.
Okay.
But I'm definitely helping to lead the charge and helping to provide solutions and a platform for Michiganders to stand up and speak up. And really what it's about is a group of business owners that got together that were beyond angry and frustrated at being told by our government that we had to shut down, we could not operate our businesses, therefore we could not pay our employees, and we could not feed our families. And it is our constitutional right to do so. We have the right to do business. Every job is essential. Every business is essential. So this really started out of anger and out of our absolute refusal to sit down and to be silent and to take it any longer. That's how Stand Up Michigan started. And now we are an organized group. We do have a campaign arm called Unlock Michigan, and they are working on a petition to repeal an old law that our governor unilaterally relied on when the legislature in Michigan did not give her permission to extend the state of emergency And that's the way it's supposed to be. She's supposed to request it. They approve it. She's got 28 days at a time for a state of emergency. When she went to request another 28 days, they did initially give it to her. Then they said, no, show us the facts, show us the science, show us the data. She's never produced anything. And so they said, no, we're not going to keep extending the state of emergency. Therefore, she could not keep extending her emergency powers. And so she relied on an old law that we are working to repeal to unlock Michigan.
Wonderful. We'll hear more about that when we come back to talk with Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. Don't touch that dial. This is KHNC 1360 AM, the Roar of the Rockies.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
I'm tired of this dirty old city.
Want to get away from all the traffic and people? Yearning for a moment of peace and quiet? Join me, Brian, on a Trout Tamer's excursion fly fishing float down the cool waters of the North Platte River. Experience the broad, sweeping, and empty landscapes of Wyoming to soothe your soul. Call me at 970-460-8873 or book a trip at trouttamers.com.
Oscar Bogart is a pastor in South Africa who receives a fair amount of persecution for standing up for biblical values and is also vigilant in missions to feed some of the world's most in need. His congregation is seeking a church, and we're asking not only for your prayers but your financial support on this mission to be a part of something that will last a lifetime and beyond. Please visit GoFundMe.com/ChurchSouthAfrica. That's GoFundMe.com/ChurchSouthAfrica to help support with this cause. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, folks. I'm James Morgan, a realtor with Grisham & Associates, LLC. I know it must seem like there's a million realtors out there making all kinds of promises. Want to hear my big marketing promise? I promise honest and fair dealings with all those I do business with. That may sound old-fashioned, and it is not very catchy, but it is true. I am your Colorado real estate specialist. Farmland, mountain cabins, or urban dwellings. When you work with my team, we'll get the right property for you and be upfront and honest with you every step of the way. Over the years, my clients have told me just that fact alone separates us from others in the industry. If you are considering buying or selling real estate, call me, James Morgan, at 720-203-0731 or visit my website at coloradoproperties.online. No catchy slogan, just a client-first, honest real estate experience. Hit it, girls.
Keep listening to the American Freedom Network.
Tocqueville wrote that one gets nothing lasting except that which is acquired with difficulty. You've worked hard. Will the fruits of your labor last into the next generation? What if you are disabled before you die? I'm estate planning attorney Thomas Curry. For help finding answers to these important questions, please visit my website, thomascurrylaw.com, to schedule a consultation. That's thomascurrylaw.com. Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-E-Y. I look forward to hearing from you.
I always wear a mask in my car because my grandfather fought in World War II and I'm trying to be just as brave. And now anytime I'm in my car, I also wear a condom because I don't want to get STDs either. And it works on the same medical premise.
That is a really great sarcastic example of about how rational some of the things are that are happening right now. I'll give you an example of this, guys. When I went into the mountains in Colorado for the 4th of July, and then I was coming back down into the city, I got this big alert on my phone. You know how you get the Amber Alerts? So it was buzz, buzz, buzz. And then when I looked at the phone, it said all residents or all people in public places in such and such counties must wear face masks. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They're making an alert out of that? I thought some child had been kidnapped, you know? So then a couple days later, I'm looking online and kind of trying to do some research on it. And there's a news story about it that reported it, said that this alert had gone out and that it was really just a casual alert, you know, just a casual reminder to people. Really? So we made a parody of it. Here's our parody.
Alert. Alert. Emergency. Warning. We have a very casual situation that doesn't really require any attention unless you are exceptionally bored. You must wear a mask absolutely everywhere or your nose will likely fall off, but only if you take this too seriously. Please remain confused, but only if you feel like it. We now return to regularly scheduled programming.
I would actually, if you don't mind, I know we're laughing about it because it is absolutely ridiculous. But one thing that people need to understand, and this is something I know Tammy knows very well, take out Corona, any industrial, medical, construction, any work site that has occupational safety and health hazards, you have to have visual cues, like it'll say, these are your OSHA rights, or, hey, when you're coming in here, you must wear hearing protection, things like that. Well, there's so many studies, and there's even laws. You cannot overuse visual signage. When you do, people stop reading them. Mm-hmm. And what these alerts do that attack existing systems for serious situations is it makes people just shut it off. It desensitizes. It's no different than crying wolf. And that's what we're doing here. Every store that you walk into, there's 7 sheets of paper. And I know here in Michigan, it's like stack upon stack, face masks are required. This is law. Well, first of all, it's not law. It's an order, which is illegal. But second, a lot of these states, because I've been traveling a lot lately, I've had to get out of Michigan. A lot of these states completely ignore those exemptions within those orders, which are, you know, if you have had medical intolerance or you're a child of a certain age, like, then the average person isn't even aware that you don't have to wear the mask, and then you have this infighting. So, yes, this oversignage and this hijacking of current systems is just, it's social engineering, and it's absolutely irresponsible.
It is irresponsible. So one thing we really haven't mentioned yet, I'd like you guys to discuss it briefly, is the fact that from your medical and regulatory experience, the face masks don't protect people in either direction from the COVID 19 virus. Could you just state that in your own words?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go first if Tammy doesn't mind. Well, first off, when Tammy mentioned we have to understand PPE, there's one thing I want to clear up. OSHA being weaponized, they recently came out clarifying that surgical masks and cloth facial coverings are not PPE, and the reason they said that is so that they don't have to get off their butts and go out and fix this issue. Anytime you are in a workplace and you are claiming a hazard, any device that you're or clothing that you're using to protect you from that hazard is considered PPE. So if we're saying there's a respiratory hazard in the workplace because of a virus, anything you're putting on your face to stop the spread for you or another person is PPE. So when it comes to PPE, OSHA has its own standard that says PPE must meet certain standards, meaning it was tested by independent agencies all across the world. It's met NIOSH and something called ANSI standards. And each of these masks are rated. They have something called a fit factor, and they have a protection factor. So any individual that's wearing a mask that has no fit test is absolutely not protecting you from a virus. No face shield is protecting you from a virus. Face shields are designed for splash hazards. Surgical masks are also for splash hazards. And it's for those in the operating room so they're not spitting on, you know, open surgical sites. So we have somehow, we believe this misguided expertise with this historical trust and fear that everyone in a white coat knows everything about everything. And that's not true. There are subspecialties in everything. Just real quick, one of my best friends, Nora. Hi, Nora. She's listening. She's in Fort Collins. She's a pharmacist. Pharmacists catch contraindications and misuse of medications all the time. And you think the doctor should know that. So when it comes to masks, you have an N95, 95% protection. And that's only if you're clean shaven. You've been medically cleared and you've had a fit test. The absolute only mask that will protect you without any clearance is a PAPR. It stands for a powered air purifying respirator. And those are around $1,200.
Mm. Well, even the N95s that will have a 95% rate, they allow particles to pass through that are smaller. I mean, that, they will allow a virus particle to pass through because the virus particle is a 0.125 nanometer or micrometer, and the mask is only filtering up to 0.3. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. And one thing that is important to note about these face masks is that we know that air will always go through the path of the least resistance. So anyone that's wearing a mask that's not even tight-fitting, right there alone isn't going to do anything for you. I don't care what these memes and visuals say. They don't do anything for you. And that's why every time you buy one, there's even like a legal liability exemption there saying, hey, this isn't going to protect you, but go ahead and wear it.
So what you're saying is that OSHA made a statement, at least in Michigan, or I'm not sure if you said Michigan, but they made a statement saying that the masks that people are being ordered dictatorially to wear are not considered PPE, and that relieves them of the regulatory and legal obligation to apply their standards. But you're saying that the definition of PPE is anything that's worn to protect you from something. So you're disputing that. And I think that's a really important point.
Right. That's absolutely correct, because they have turned it into PPE and they're enforcing it, but they're not following their own standards for PPE. So they're in a situation right now where they cannot defend what they're enforcing.
So let's talk more about what you're doing in Michigan to address this. You said you've had tremendous response to the petition that people are signing to overturn the governor's overreaching orders. So you've had really good responses in Michigan to your efforts.
Right. Yes, we have. We actually started out as a group called Michiganders Against Excessive Quarantine. We grew to almost 400,000 people within just a few days, and then Facebook shut us down. So we had to regroup, and we started over as a group now called Stand Up Michigan. Stand up for your freedom. Stand up for your liberty. Stand up for justice and truth, and fight for truth, basically, is what it is, and to preserve your rights. And so, again, we've grown. We have a huge following in the state of Michigan, and I am getting contacted from people all over the world, like yourself, Kara. How can we start a stand up here in Colorado or in wherever? Mm-hmm. And we're working on that. We actually have a plan for that. So stay tuned for more.
Excellent. We'll talk more about the plan for other states to stand up, to open up and express their freedom and continue to be safe in a rational way. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tom McGuire with Maxcom Corporation, a manufacturer of high-quality fiber optic RF video solutions. We support clients that are building video networks, whether a traditional cable operator, a broadcaster delivering signals to a cable provider, or large end users such as hospitals or universities building a campus video network. We also provide complimentary designs to confirm our customer requirements. Check us out at www.maxcomcorp.com.
Are you a builder, remodeling contractor, or do-it-yourselfer who's in the market for cabinets? Let me tell you about Colorado Kitchen and Bath. They've been providing the best quality and service in the industry for 37 years. Family-owned and operated, they're known as the most handcrafted remodel company in all of Northern Colorado. You can go right to their website and see the testimonials of many of their satisfied customers over the years. They're also an authorized R.D. Henry dealer. R.D. Henry offers builder-grade, semi-custom, and custom cabinetry. And you know R.D. Henry offers unsurpassed finishes. Give Colorado Kitchen and Bath a call at 970-353-2890 or log on to ckbsales.com. That's 970-353-2890 or visit them at ckbsales.com. R.D. Henry Cabinets from Colorado Kitchen and Bath. Finally, great quality and service.
I'm Maria Miller, owner of the Miller Insurance Agency right here in Northern Colorado. Whether it's your home, auto, farm, or business, during these unprecedented times, we're all looking at our budgets. Because we're an independent agency, we offer a wide variety of policies from many different companies, so you can pick the one that's just right for you, your family, and your bank account. Call the Millers today at 970-593-0619 or find us online at callthemillers.com.
When I get out of my car, I put on a mask over my mask. because I don't want my mask to get infected while it's protecting me.
If we told people to do that, I bet you a whole bunch of them would do it. So, guys, I've got Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan, both environmental health and safety experts with at least 20 or more years of experience. These are OSHA-certified professionals. They are telling us that a mask, except for the highest top-of-the-line sealed apparatus that costs $1,200, will not protect you from viruses. So, gals, when you go out in public, you don't wear a mask, I'm assuming. What do you do? Because obviously there is a virus. It is killing people. We lost a very, very precious person who was a part of our KHNC family to this virus. So it is real. What do you two do when you go out in public in order to try to practice whatever measures will keep you safe?
Yeah. Well, I...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tammy.
You want to go ahead, Kristen?
Nope. Go ahead, Tammy.
Well, I do not wear a mask simply because I understand the health risks and the severe side effects that wearing a mask actually causes. We have lots of science. We have lots of data that supports what I'm saying and what Kristen is saying and what others are saying, that wearing a mask does not protect you from viral transmission. There have been a lot of studies, even between healthcare workers. There have been studies going all the way back to 2009, quite a few, I'd say 6 or 7 studies of randomized controlled tests and meta-analysis and all of that kind of stuff that actually would make it a test or a study something that everybody would accept, right? And they all collectively show that there is no stopping viral transmission just by wearing even surgical masks in hospitals. They studied healthcare workers because there's a very high level of infectious disease transmission, respiratory type diseases and illnesses, even though they're wearing surgical masks. And so why is that? Well, it's because, like you alluded to, that virion is so tiny, it will cross the membrane of a mask. The big thing that everybody talks about is, yeah, but it will catch the droplets. The virus is in the droplets and the water droplets and the mucus and things like that if the doctor or nurse sneezes or coughs. And that's true. Some of that is encapsulated will be caught and will be trapped. But it does not stop the virus from passing through in your expirations. Like Kristen said, there is airflow around the sides, around the nose, the jawline, and it's going to get out. It does literally nothing, and this is why healthcare workers, if they do have a virus, they are supposed to stay home because their PPE doesn't stop them from that kind of disease transmission. However, I simply don't wear a mask because I know that wearing a face mask increases my risk of infection, increases my risk of respiratory issues. We are starting to see a lot of respiratory illnesses develop, pleurisy, respiratory bronchitis type of things, bacterial infections, because that moisture builds up on the inside of that mask. Some of the viral droplets or the virons are encapsulated and rebreathed in, and bacteria builds up very quickly in those moist environments. So while we are designed to exhale all of that into the ambient air, where usually in the heat and the sunshine, it just dissolves, the virus is, for all practical purposes, dissolved. Instead, we are rebreathing that in, and we are causing an increased viral load in our own bodies. These studies have shown that wearing a cloth face mask actually increases your chance of infection, in addition to all these other things. Dentists are now seeing what they call mask mouth. It's increase in cavities, it's increase in stinky breath and bacteria because of the bacterial buildup. People can't get the bacteria out. They're just rebreathing it into their systems. So I just simply don't wear one for health reasons. And all I say and I encourage people to say is in all the executive orders, there is language that people who are not medically able to tolerate a face mask do not have to wear one. So when I go into a store, I simply inform people, I'm sorry, but I do not wear a mask for health reasons. That's all I say. Mm-hmm. And the store employees, for the most part, are trained that if somebody tells them they have a medical issue, and Kristen can speak more to this because she deals with that more directly, then they're trained, for the most part, to allow you to go through and not to harass you. Because there are lawsuits now starting to pop up about the ADA and the HIPAA violations of, you know, people bullying and refusing service. That's discrimination. And it's going to take some of these lawsuits. I'm actually involved in a couple myself. to stop this. So that's why we in Michigan are encouraging people just to say no.
What about antisocial distancing or socialist distancing and hand washing and other measures? What would you say about, you know, any other measures that people could take?
I'll go ahead and chime in on this. So I also don't wear a mask. I don't wear a mask primarily because I have two medical issues that highly procured me from wearing it, but I wouldn't wear one anyway because, like Tammy said, I understand unless I'm wearing a PAPR, I'm actually doing more harm than good. So the issue about other things we can do, it's called the hierarchy of safety and controls. We have administrative controls that should happen before PPE is instituted, and some of those controls are what you see, plexiglass, and while this whole social distancing thing, from what I hear, came from just a high school student coming up with this idea. I mean, maintaining distance is smart, but this whole stickers on the floor thing, arrows and all that, that's obnoxious. What you need to do is if you have a fever and you're not feeling well and you have obvious symptoms that are similar to COVID, please stay home. And if able, have other people do your grocery work for you or errands for you. The problem is that we are forgetting the basic hand hygiene. So those that are mask wearers think, oh, I'm wearing my mask, I'm doing my part. You're not wearing your mask, you're putting us at risk. Incorrect. Because not a single soul have I seen, and I've traveled around the country the past couple months, I have not seen a single soul take their mask and properly remove it or don it. That means don and doff. When you remove a mask, you are supposed to only touch the loops of the mask, and you are supposed to fold it within itself and store it in a bag. Now, in the workplace, this has to be changed out per task, not shift. And there is no longer a mask storage. I see them everywhere. So those that are wearing masks, you need to remember, would you wear the same socks every day? Probably not. Is everyone washing their reusable masks? Probably not. And if you are washing your masks, I need all your listeners to know, do not put it in the dryer and do not use any perfume soap or fabric softener, because you are going to be inhaling toxicants that are not designed to be up close to your face. So what people can do is, as I know people say sense isn't common, but common sense. Don't leave your house if you're feeling very ill. Don't treat people like they're all infected just because they're not wearing a mask. Wash your hands. Be mindful of touching your face. Help your children. And if you're not wiping down your groceries and you're not wiping down your steering wheel or shifter, you are not anywhere near doing your part.
Very, very helpful information. Thank you so much. So we are, as you can hear, we're going to our last commercial break. And we have one short segment left. So when we come back, we're going to try to arm our listeners with some things that they can do to get connected with you guys. Stay with us, folks.
Hey, folks, in today's world of turmoil and change, how do you prepare for the next crisis? With propaganda-filled airwaves, who do you trust for the straight scoop? Our company, PacmanUSA.com, is built on 60 years of experience, truth, and integrity. We offer hard-to-get items covering a wide range of needs, things not found in the local big-box store. Visit us at PacmanUSA.com. That's PacmanUSA.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Wayne Hoffman. Are you struggling with medical issues or chronic pain? Do you have medical questions you can't find the answers you need? Or do you simply want to know what to do to avoid health problems to begin with? You might want to check out my show, Proactive Health Strategies, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on KHNC. We'll be discussing a wide range of medical topics and we'll even be taking your calls. So join me this Sunday at 8 a.m. for Proactive Health Strategies right here on KHNC, the Roar of the Rockies.
Reasons to own gold. Reason number one.
Culturally, the golden rule is treating others as you want to be treated. But financially, the golden rule is those that have the gold make the rules. When you retire, make sure you can write your rules. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592 or visit our website at allamericangold.com.
Tocqueville wrote that one gets nothing lasting except that which is acquired with difficulty. You've worked hard. Will the fruits of your labor last into the next generation? What if you are disabled before you die? I'm estate planning attorney Thomas Curry. For help finding answers to these important questions, please visit my website, thomascurrylaw.com, to schedule a consultation. That's thomascurrylaw.com. Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-E-Y. I look forward to hearing from you.
Do I take my mask off at home? No, I'm not suicidal.
Credit to J.P. Sears. You can find him on YouTube for his astute humor and sarcasm. So we're talking to Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan, who are both health and environmental professionals, safety professionals. And we know from this conversation now, from hearing their expertise, that face masks do not at all protect people from the transmission of viruses, not the COVID-19, not other viruses. Viruses are too small for that kind of personal protection equipment. The only kind that would help you is like a spacesuit type that is totally sealed and is about $1,200. And I don't think we're probably all going to be walking around in those anytime soon. So we want to lay those fears to rest for any of our listeners or any people who listen to this podcast. And then secondly, is the issue of freedom. If executive orders, without being backed by science, can be put upon the people and threats can be given to citizens and businesses, then we are entering, if we allow that to continue, a period of oppression and servitude in the country that was founded on freedom. And I know myself and these two women that are joining me today are not willing and not about to sit down and let that happen. So they have taken it upon themselves to organize a response to this this irrationality in the state of Michigan, and we're seeing what we can learn from them about that. Now, Tammy, you guys have a Facebook page, and it's vetted, so people have to apply to be allowed into the group. Would you tell us about that?
Yes. So if you go to standupmichigan.com, you will see what we're about. We are working on our website right now and updating it, but we are a very young organization. We are growing. The momentum and the energy here from the citizens in Michigan is probably very similar to what your listeners are feeling. They're angry, they're frustrated, they're concerned, they want to do something and get involved. And so we have created a platform in which people can become members. We have Freedom Fests all over the country. We call them protesting events because we're not allowed to come in and assemble, but we are allowed to protest. So we come in as a peaceful protest, and we allow people to join their voices, join their membership. We are working with our legislature. We know that the legislature is behind us. This is a bipartisan movement. It is not Democrat or Republican. It is not a party movement. It is just citizens who are fed up with being told what to do. And so we give them a way to go. If you go to Unlock Michigan, you can actually sign up and request a petition. You can tell your stories, your horror stories from the COVID shutdown. And so we are quite a powerful movement, and our governor is very afraid of us, and she's trying everything she can do to stop us. But we are coming for her powers, and she knows it. Her days are numbered, and her powers are limited. And that yes. is the strength, that the power of one can lead to the power of many.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Tie down the tyrants with the bonds of the Constitution." That's what we're told to do. We have
Correct.
To do that to protect our freedom. And we're almost at the end here. So, Kristen, would you like to say a final word?
Yes. You know, you have my people like myself and Tammy, and we need more people from our career field to come forward. The both of us, we have our own businesses, we work for ourselves, so we don't fear reprisal from our employers. And I understand that puts people in a hard spot, but if you join this career field, you have ethics to follow. And I took an oath to the United States Constitution 3 times, and everything that's happening is violating that oath. And, you know, people just need to understand, I'd say just the biggest misconception that people need to understand is know who is a subject matter expert in what. People need to stay in their lanes. These professionals need to stop trying to get their 15 minutes of fame to be media correspondents. Please do the right thing. If you are not credentialed in talking about PPE and its limitations and usage, leave it to those of us who are. And I just ask that people just know that this will end someday. And there are people that will help you on the front lines and behind the scenes. Just stay strong.
Oh, excellent. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us on Brain Cleavage on KHNC today. It was a very informative time, and we really appreciate all that both of you are doing to stand up for freedom. God bless you both.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-932-1287. 800-932-1287. 800-932-1287. That's 800-932-1287. 1287.
You're listening to the Roar of the Rockies, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins.
Rocky Mountain News Network, I'm Kristen Thoburn. Interstate 70 remains closed this morning in both directions between Glenwood Springs and Gypsum due to the Grizzly Creek fire there. The closure affects mile markers 116 through 140. Detours, if you do have to pass through that area, are suggested, but be aware it's likely going to add significant time to your trip. There's still no estimated time for when that stretch of interstate will reopen. We could see some record high temperatures across the state today, with a few places possibly getting into triple digits. The hot weather is not good for fire danger, especially in already overly dry areas of Colorado. The family of Elijah McClain has filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Aurora and specifically named several other police, fire, and medical personnel. The 23-year-old died in police custody despite committing no crime nearly a year ago after being injected with ketamine, but the case has recently garnered more attention from the public. An attorney for the family says they filed the civil rights lawsuit to demand justice for Elijah and to hold accountable the city of Aurora and those who are supposed to protect and serve. The city of Aurora says it is still reviewing that lawsuit, but it also announced yesterday that they're going to undertake a comprehensive review of the Aurora Police Department aimed at developing a common goal of a new vision of public safety. One person was killed and three others were injured last night in Brighton in an attack involving a machete. It happened in a residential neighborhood, and a neighbor says she heard lots of screaming coming from the home around 10 p.m. Three people were injured, two males and one female. The person who died was a female. Victim names and ages have not yet been released, nor have any other details about what may have led up to the attack. We do know that a suspect was taken into custody last night. I'm Kristen Thober.